God, I'm aware, you know, that in my spirit, there are some people for whom this service has been a real struggle. You don't feel there. I don't know if you woke up on the wrong side of the bed, or you feel like you're in a funk, or the devil's lying to you, but you just, it's like, you know there is there, but you're not there. And you're not happy with the way life is going. You're not, maybe a piece of you is a little upset with God at the circumstance, or not really at God, but I don't know. I'm trying to explain just a feeling of distance. And I want to pray for you, because what if that feeling right there was not from God? What if that was designed to throw you off of what's about to happen through the Word and through the Scripture today? What if that was meant to distract you from something really great that God has for you just in this moment? Because I don't believe it's an accident that you're here. Even though it's been a struggle maybe for you to be here in this moment, I believe God just wants to touch you and really help you. He loves you. And so I just want to pray together, and I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit just to clear away all the debris, the emotional debris, all the rubble of this last week, whatever it was for you, the prayer that wasn't answered, the thing that didn't happen, the fool you made of yourself, or your own emotion, or whatever it is. Lord, I'm really aware right now that some people just don't feel there, and I'm asking, Lord, that you'll get them there. It's not a feeling I'm asking for. But Lord, we want to come to your table and eat what you have for us. We want to hear your voice, and we don't want to be distracted from what you might say. Lord, we ask you to speak to us, because if you don't speak to us, we'll be lost. We need you. We need your direction. We need your Holy Spirit in our lives. So despite everything that's gone on this week, we come to your table and we just ask you to nourish us and help us to get over the funk. Help us to get over the whatever that is, Lord, that's blocking. And let us just really receive from you. Lord, you're good, and we truly can't live without you. And we love you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you, and we ask you to speak to us. And I pray for those, Lord, for whom this service will be a turning point in their lives. In a much better direction, I pray that they'll really connect with you. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you've got good plans for each person here and listening online. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. You can be seated. Let's thank the worship team for their leadership and love. Good morning, everyone. I'm glad you're here. This was just a marvelous, marvelous weekend. Don't feel bad if you weren't able to join us. Many people joined online. I think over 1,400 people through the weekend were online joining. And of course, all of our locations had special prayer this last weekend, the 18th and 19th, Friday and Saturday. We here were really touched by God's presence. But again, if you weren't here, don't feel bad, because there's plenty more where that came from. We're stepping into, and I have an assurance, and I want to say this. I said in the first service, I want to make sure you hear it. I have an assurance about you, not just about our church and all the great things we're doing, but your life. I have an assurance that this year is going to be a marvelous year for you, and that God has wonderful things for you, and that he's hearing your prayers. You're connecting with him, and God is a rewarder of those who seek him. He will reward you. He will, as you cannot pray and ask God for things and get nothing. He absolutely will reward you and bless you. So the Bible says in Proverbs that the path of righteous people is like a shining light. It gets brighter and brighter unto a perfect day. That's a way of saying that life just keeps getting better and better. And so I believe that your year is just going to keep getting better and better. And how many will receive that? All right. So be assured, good days are ahead. The world's not getting worse and worse and worse and worse. Contrary to what the enemy wants you to believe, the sky is not falling. The world is not getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And oh my goodness, things are actually getting better for you. So receive that and walk in that and enjoy it, okay? Praise the Lord. James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8 is where we begin. Therefore, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near. Would you say that with me? Draw near. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. One of our values as a church, and one of the things that's been so important to me throughout my life, is the presence of God. I want to talk about the presence of God and what that means. What do I mean by that? And how would a person experience the presence of God? What does it mean to be a presence church, a people of the presence? But I want to say this from the very beginning. This is not a novelty. This is not a nice add-on. The presence of God is not something peripheral. Some churches have it. Some churches don't. Some Christians like it. Like a condiment. Okay. It's the main course. It's the main course. And for us, I believe I speak for all of us, in the new year, nothing could be more important than the awareness of God's presence in our lives. So we're going to focus on that today and next Sunday in a series of teachings called Near. And we're going to talk about what it means to be near God. And of all the lessons that Moses, the great prophet, the great patriarch, of all the things that he taught us, the Ten Commandments and everything else, I think one of the most vital lessons he gives to us with his life is the importance of the presence of God. That's what stands out for me. And I want to read a passage to you from Exodus chapter 33. If you have a Bible, you can follow along, digital device, or we got it up on the screen. But this is the New English Translation version of Exodus 33, 7 through 17. I hope it blesses you. It says, Moses took the tent and pitched it outside the camp at a good distance from the camp, and he called it the Tent of Meeting. Anyone seeking the Lord would go out to the Tent of Meeting that was outside the camp. And when Moses went out to the tent, all the people would get up and stand in the entrance of their tents and watch Moses until he entered the tent. Whenever Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak to Moses. When all the people would see the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people, each one at the entrance of his own tent, would rise up and worship. And the Lord would speak to Moses face to face, the way a person speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, son of Nun, a young man, did not leave the tent. And Moses said to the Lord, "See, you have been saying to me, 'Bring this people up,' but you've not let me know whom you will send with me." In other words, Moses is saying, "Lord, look, you've given me this job to bring your people out of Egypt and into the promised land, but I don't know who's actually going to follow me. I don't know if this is going to work," in essence. "But you said, 'I know you by name, and also you have found favor in my sight.' These are your promises to me, Lord, but I need something more than just a promise and an assignment. Now," he says, "if I have found favor in your sight, show me your way, that I may know you, that I may continue to find favor in your sight and see that this nation is your people." And the Lord said, would you say this with me? "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Wow. Moses is wound up. He's tied up in a knot. He's got to have an answer. He's struggling, and God said, "My presence will go with you, and everything's going to be all right." And Moses said to him, "If your presence doesn't go with us, do not take us up from here. I don't want to go without you, Lord. For how will it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by your going with us so that we will be distinguished? I and your people from all the people that are on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing also that you have requested, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. What a remarkable, remarkable passage. Moses has face to face nearness, closeness with God. And essentially, he's at an emotional boiling point, a crossroads in his life where he is so aware, he is so vulnerable as a leader, as a person, to finish the job that God is. He's exhausted. He's been through everything. He's got the people complaining. Everybody's telling their opinion, and everybody wants to go this. Some people want to go this way. Some people want to go that way. Some people are in. Some people are out. It's changing every day. He's exhausted. And he says, I can't take another step until I know who I am and where I am with you. Are you with me or what? Because you're telling me you're with me, but I need to know that you're with me. This man just goes into the presence of God face to face and talks to him, and he's a man that says, if your presence isn't with me, I don't want to go. What does he mean? There are levels of God's presence in our life. There are ways of experiencing God. God can be a thought, he can be a philosophy, or we can have an intimate experience with him. And Moses is saying, I want to know you. I want to know you face to face. In fact, it's interesting, the word presence itself, the Hebrew word presence in this passage, is a very specific word, panim, which means face. If I don't have your face, if I'm not close enough to feel your breath, then I can't take another step. Have you ever been there? Face is a very personal, when you think about it, it's a very personal part of your body. If I just met you and I touched your face, you would think, that's a little weird. That's a little much. He touched my face. I would not touch a person's face unless I had a close relationship with them. My grandchild, my son, my wife. That's a personal place. Moses had that close experience, and God's presence is really just that place where we're just that close. And it speaks of being near, intimacy, closeness, a personal experience with God. I don't know if you saw the same story that I saw this morning on the news, but boy, it touched my heart. Over there in Mountain View, they were telling the story, I guess it was the one-year anniversary, of this little baby that was born. And she was born super premature. Not premature, super premature. She was 1 pound. And, of course, the development of a child that premature, the brain, the lungs, everything, I mean, it's touch and go. And the mother of this baby abandoned her upon her birth. And the nurses in the neonatal unit, I mean, they just made it their mission for this little baby to survive, and it was, you know, questionable if she even would. And so they get her hooked up. You know, my granddaughter was premature. I think she was 5 pounds, Jordan? 4 pounds. And that's tiny, but 1 pound. So they hook them up to everything. They got nose, the tubes and the everything taped to this baby, and she's losing weight. She's going the wrong direction. This is a syndrome, we've talked about it before, called failure to thrive, where you can give a child, you know, everything, all the oxygen, the food and everything, but they just aren't developing. They're not okay. They're going the wrong direction. And that started happening with this baby. And the head nurse, a beautiful lady at the neonatal unit over there at El Camino Hospital, she had a thought because she understood the power of being near. And she organized not only the nurses in her ward, but retired nurses and other nurses from the hospital to take turns 24 hours a day holding this baby skin on skin, which was not easy to do with all the wires and hookups and just this little tiny baby, but they got it. And 24 hours a day, these women put this little tiny baby on their skin and talked to her and held her and loved her and nurtured her. And she turned around and she started gaining weight. And the more they held her, the more weight she gained. And the more she was able to put on weight and grow, and then the less machines they needed, and they were able to slowly disconnect her from all the things, and she got stronger and stronger and stronger, and she just had her first birthday. And it made the news. And I looked at that and I thought, that's me. And that's you. Because if we don't come near to God, we're not going to make it. I think that's what Moses was saying, is I got to have skin on skin, or I can't do it. Have you ever been there? I can't do it if you don't help me. I need something more than just a philosophy here. I need your presence. I need to know. And I believe there are so many Christians, for whatever reason, 1,000 different reasons, that are in failure to thrive. They are not experiencing God. God is a thought, he's a philosophy, he's maybe a belief, but you're not near. And this is what James is saying, draw near. This is a matter of your survival. Draw near to God, and you will find that he will draw near to you, and the devil's power will not be able to reach you. There is a place close to the heart of God where the enemy cannot touch you. You'll be able to hear him. Maybe you'll hear the lie, but it won't shake you. It won't wreck you. The temptation will be there, and you're only ever going to be flesh in it. And you're always going to feel the, you know, temptation and the possibility of sin and doubt and whatever else. But it just doesn't reach you the way it reaches you when you're not connected. And for me, the sense of God's presence is not an add-on. It's not a condiment. It's not optional. It's like, I've got to have, when I'm in my right mind, when I'm thinking straight, I understand that without God, I will not thrive. My heart can't do it. I'm not that strong. I can't do it without him. And so the command is, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. The message is, how do we experience God's presence? How would we understand God's presence? Let me give you this morning three dimensions of God's presence that you can discover and you can experience in your own life. You tell me where you're at in your relationship with God. The first level, and I want to lay this out if I can. I don't want to make fun of God's presence. I certainly never would. But I want to put this in maybe in some terms that will help you to understand what I'm talking about. And the terms go like this. Some of you know I'm on a low-carb eating plan. I am not perfect. I am not a perfect person. I do eat carbs, and there are times where the shame is so intense. But I still enjoy, I don't know if you do, but I still enjoy once in a while a delicious, warm, hot, sticky, gooey cinnamon roll. That for me... For me, that's the perfect food. That it's doughy, it's sweet, it's sticky, it's warm, it's comforting. Is anybody with me on that? And so, you know, let's not talk too much about it, but if you go down to the mall, can we just get real for a minute? Cinnabon is just a whole nother level of that experience. Like, you can smell it pretty far away. And if you have no shame like I do, you will go to Cinnabon, even at the risk of your friends seeing you there, and you will eat one, and then you'll be filled with self-loathing and shame, and you'll want to take a nap, but you'll probably do it again. It'll happen again. And so, you know, experiencing whatever delicious food you like, there's one level is, you know, knowing that it's there. Cinnabons are at the mall, right? You can know that. Another level is you're a few stores away from stall L154 at Valley Fair, and you're just, and you can smell it, and you're starting to now you don't just know it's there, but you're starting to experience a little bit of it. And then there's the experience of sitting down and actually, I'm eating this. This is mine. I'm having that. And those are three different levels. And that's like the presence of God. If you'll permit me to illustrate it that way. The first level is just, you know, the eternal presence of God. That's a level of God's presence. You know that he exists for you. God is an idea. Maybe you believe in him. Maybe you don't believe in him. But the idea of God as present. And he is real and he is present whether we feel him or not. Psalm 139 says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your what? Presence. If I go to heaven, you are there. Your presence is there. If I make my bed in the depths, if I go down to hell, you are there. And this is a theological concept which is taught through the Bible. It's one of God's attributes called omnipresence, which means that God is always present everywhere. There is literally no place you could go that God would not be present. He would not be God if he was not present everywhere. So in that sense, you can never flee God's presence. You will never be alone. That should be good news to you. You will never be far from God in that sense, because wherever you are, no matter what sin you might commit or whatever kind of a day you're having, God is available to you. He's there. You could move to Alaska, God will be there. You could go out on the space shuttle and fly for 3 months toward Mars, and you would still be able to experience God. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. That's one of his attributes. He's everywhere at the same time. There is no place that God is not present. So in that sense, I could never be alone. And in that sense, I could never be far from God, because he's everywhere that I can ever be. His promises can reach me. On my deathbed, his promise is there. On my worst day, when I lose my job or my wife divorces me or I lose a loved one, at the lowest point after I've sinned and turned my back on God when I knew I shouldn't have, and in that moment, God is right there. He's always present. That's just who he is. It's interesting because not everybody experiences near him or sensing him. And he said this in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 23 and 24. He said, I'm a God that's close, I'm near. I'm also a God that's far away. In other words, whatever the distance, whatever your proximity, I'm there. Like, you can't escape me. And I can be as close as your next prayer. And I'm also wherever you, if you can run, but you can never escape who I am. I fill heaven and earth. People might say, I know God exists. I think I read recently about a major atheist who prayed to receive Jesus Christ. It's awesome. He changed. God didn't change. But this guy changed his awareness of God. He made a decision that the evidence for him was irrefutable, and he actually received Christ as his Lord and Savior. You could say, I know God exists, and you would be right. But it would, in essence, for the skin-on-skin dimension of what we're talking about, it would be the rough equivalent of saying, I know that Cinnabon exists. I know it's at the mall. I could go there. But that's not exactly experiencing either. So just knowing it is one level. And God is an eternal presence and he's there. But people need more than just the knowledge that he's there. So there's a second level that's interesting. And that is what we could call God's evident presence, which is now God is manifesting himself, or he's becoming real. Not that he ever wasn't real. He's not fictitious. He doesn't become real the minute you feel him. He was real before you felt him. But he's making himself known to you. He's making himself aware. He's coming close to you in a personal way. This happened in Genesis chapter 3. You know, the creation account there, Adam and Eve are in this beautiful, lush, perfect place of garden, the Garden of Eden, where they're walking with God and experiencing God's presence. And just like you and I do, they messed up and sinned and disobeyed and went their own way. And that was sin. And it affected their experience of God's presence. And so in this way, this is an interesting passage. It says that Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife, what? hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. It's an interesting thing about human beings. We self-sabotage all the time, don't we? If we could just do the right thing at the right time, it'd be great, but we don't. When we mess up, we feel shame, and we have all these emotions that kind of carry us in different directions. And Adam and Eve were ashamed. They knew they had disappointed God. They knew they weren't sure. Now they're unsure of their relationship with God. So they know God's presence is real, and they position themselves to lose proximity to God. I don't want to be around God, which is totally insane, but we do it all the time. There are people, we talk about Gateway, let's say Gateway's a presence church. I would love to be able to say that we're a presence church. There are some people that don't want to be in a presence church because life is easier and more comfortable when God is just a thought or a construct or an idea rather than a person that has expectations and views and feelings and requirements. So now they're coming up with animatronic dolls. I don't want to say what people are doing with those dolls. It's kind of disgusting. But they see this as the big trend to, because the idea of a relationship, not everybody wants a relationship. Because real people have ideas, and they have thoughts, and they have opinions, and they have complaints, and they have suggestions, and they have desires and preferences, and it's so easy just to go through and just get what you need out of life and not just deal with the relationship. And some people think about God in those terms. I just use a principle. I'll follow my business guru. I'll follow my Oprah guest, and I don't have to actually, I can just think thoughts and good things will come to me. I don't have to deal with the person of God. And that, of course, is a dead-end street because it leads to failure to thrive. Because you can't thrive off of an idea or philosophy. You can only thrive when you're experiencing near. That's your zone. That's where you belong. That's where you're gonna put on weight. You're gonna be strong. He's close to him. I wonder if you're hiding from God today. Catch yourself, because I've done it. I can hide from God with my anger. I can hide from God with my political outrage or my preferences or my musical style. There's lots of ways to keep God out of my life if I actually want to do that. It takes something else to say, here I am, Lord. It's not about my neighbors, and it's not about what's going on in Washington. It's not about, it's just you and me, and I need you right now. We have so many ways of shielding ourselves and hiding. We have so many fig leaves. But what our heart actually needs is skin on skin with God. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? So we come to that second level, and it would be like this. Cinnamon rolls are close. I smell them. I actually want one. But there's this third level of God's presence that makes the most sense, and that is God's encountered presence. That's really what I'm talking about today, is how do we encounter God? Not how do we believe in God? How do we actually get into proximity to God? How do we get near? We could call it his encountered presence or his very presence. We get that from Psalm 46:1. God is a very present help. Somebody listening to me today, you need this promise. You're in trouble. You're in a time of need. People around you might not even know what you're going through, but you're in a moment where you got to have God, and the promise is he's very present to you, like an extra measure of his closeness and his goodness. God's people have always sought. I mean, the faithful people, as broken and imperfect as we are, we want God. We want to seek God. That's what prayer meetings are about. That's what churches are about. That's what reading the Bible is about. It's all these ways of saying, God, I want you. I want to intersect. I want to throw myself in front of the bus of your presence. I have to have contact. I'm stepping out in front of you, God, because here I am. I need you. I want to intersect with you in my life. I need you. And when people show hunger and when people reposition their lives and they come and they do what James says, they draw near to God. When they draw near to God, when we draw near to God, he draws near to us. And boy, it becomes real. In the Old Testament, for example, when they dedicated the temple of Solomon, it said that they lifted their voices with trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music. I mean, they went all out for this, and they praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. It's amazing what happens when you concentrate on who God is, how that will change your proximity to him and his proximity to you. And the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud so that the priests could not continue ministry. They couldn't get the words to the song out. They couldn't play their instrument. They could no longer function. They were wrecked by the nearness of God. Because in that minute, it's like, I don't care about this guitar. I don't care about what title. Am I the priest? Am I the assistant priest? Am I the assistant to the assistant priest? I don't care about titles. I don't care. I just forget all this. God, I need you. I'm skin on skin with you. That's my heart. I've been so homesick for you, God, and now I've got you. And that's just it. I'm thriving now. I'm thriving because I'm in your presence. And I have to say a word about praise and worship, because that's how they did it. If you were to ask me, how could you experience the presence of God, I would have to say, based on you having a relationship with God, based on you knowing God through Christ, it would be your gratitude. It would be your thanksgiving. There's something about you honoring the Lord that causes his presence to be something you can experience. When you worship, that's why we spend time worshiping the Lord. And you're looking at your watch going, man, we've been singing for like 6 minutes. I mean, when is this ever going to stop? But, you know, that's not how you act when you go to Cinnabon. You're like, let's take our time now. All right. You're not trying to rush anything at that point. When you're starting to taste and see that the Lord is good, that's not something you have to feel you need to rush out of. And so we take the time to worship the Lord, and some people would say it's not long enough, and others would say it's too long. But the point is we spend time with the Lord, worshiping him and honoring him. And we're drawing near. That's what we're doing. Because we're a presence church, we want to be a presence church. How could we experience that in our lives? In Psalm 118, there's an interesting verse. It says, open for me the gates where the righteous enter. What? Open for me the gates where the righteous enter, and I will go in and thank the Lord. These gates lead to These gates lead to the presence of the Lord. Now, if God's everywhere, we know that he's not talking about God's eternal presence. There are certain gates that lead into his very presence. And if you can find those gates in your life, if you can find those gates, you're going to be able to go there every time. This is something you need to understand. The things that will lead you right into God's presence. The word gates is a beautiful word in Hebrew that also means canal or like river. It's something that you, when you step into, it's not just a gate that you pull open or force your way through. It's something you step into and the flow kind of carries you. Is there a sense of flow in your life? Because there are certain things in your life that will lead you closer to God effortlessly. And one of them is thanksgiving. Another one is praise. Your opinion will not lead you closer to God. Your complaint will not lead you closer to God. Your fear will not. In fact, those things, those negative emotions and bad habits that we all have, those will actually carry you in the wrong direction. People use that word. You're getting carried away. What does that mean? That means that you have stepped into something, a mood, an emotion, a spiritual energy that is actually taking you a place that you don't want to go. And you've got to check yourself, and hopefully you're in a relationship with other people in your life that can say to you, hey, snap out of it. You're getting carried away. You're locking in to fear, and it's taking you somewhere. You need to stop. And you need to reverse. You need to turn your heart. That's what the message of repentance, it's a word that people don't want to hear, but it just means to turn your heart. Repenting is just turning your heart and saying, whoa, I'm getting carried off in the wrong direction. I need to change this. I want to go a different direction. And so what happens is that the more automatic you can make this, and the more a sense of flow you can make it, the better off you are, because it's not your energy and it's not your labor that's doing it. You're just lifting your hands, maybe in a moment of brokenness. A guy was telling me after the first service about they lost their premature baby. He said, I really appreciated the message. He said, but he said, just pray for me, because it just brought up this pain. We lost our child. I said, I understand. I can't imagine. You know, so in that moment of loss or pain or whatever it is, you realize this is trying to carry you somewhere, and you stop and you lift your hands and you step into a river that carries you actually closer to God and takes you in a much better direction, which is the river of praise and thanksgiving and honoring the Lord. The more you complain, the more you fuss, the more carried away from happiness you are. James is saying, come near to God. Find the gates. Find the canals and the rivers that carry you closer to him, because that's where you're going to thrive. And there is a place in God where the enemy just can't affect you that way. That's the presence of God, the very presence of God. Believers draw near through the gates of praise and thanksgiving. That's worth knowing. So it's not a warm-up. Praise and worship is not a warm-up for my important part. Okay, finally, something good is happening. You know. Then when I start to preach, you start looking at your watch like, okay, how quick can we get out of here? Let's flow into God's presence and let the Word and the Spirit kind of carry us into proximity with him. How many understand what I'm talking about? So this is not ritual and routine. I'm not here to build a church that's filled with rituals and routine. That's completely uninteresting to me. Completely. What I would like to see is a place where people can come and kind of catch a current that gently and beautifully draws them close to the Lord. Because if we don't have that, I mean, I'm saved, you're saved, right? You know the Lord, you're gonna be okay. But what about all these people out here in Silicon Valley with all that pressure and the grind and the fear and the loneliness and all of that in this crazy place that we live? If they don't get the presence of God, they won't make it. We need God's presence. And I want to build a church. I want to build churches. I want to build places, prayer meetings, youth groups, moments, small groups, life groups. I want to build moments where people intersect with God's presence and they walk away stronger and they walk away better and transformed, not in a head way necessarily, but just because they got some skin on skin. They got what they need. In the end of the day, it's not your robot that's going to get you through. It's only the reality of a living relationship that can change your heart and make you what you want to be. The Lord is enthroned in his praises, the praises of his people, Psalm 22. The Lord sits down and he rules in your life. The Lord actually establishes his purpose in your life when you praise him. When you just let go of the drama and stop fussing and just worship him. Something gets enthroned. Something takes over. The lordship of Jesus is established in your life. And most importantly, as we close the service, I have to remind you that it's only through the blood of Jesus that we could ever, that broken people like us could ever possibly have access to the presence of a holy God. You see, in the Old Testament, only the priest could have access to God's presence. And then only once a year. But in the new covenant, what the beauty of Jesus Christ and what he did, why he died on the cross and shed his blood, is so that we could have access to God 24/7. He paid the price. He paid the price of the ticket into God's presence was paid for you 24/7 so that you can encounter God. You can come to level 3, which is I'm tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. I'm experiencing his cinnamony goodness. It's mine. It's my experience because of Jesus. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have what? Access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And so the admission goes like this. I'm a 1-pound, hopelessly dependent being. And if I don't come near, I won't make it. But if I do come near, I can be what God created me to be. How many want to come near to God? There's a place. There's a place. And in all our funkiness and all our stuff that's going on, we can get there through Jesus Christ. Would you just bow your heads and close your eyes? I want to pray for you. I'm aware that in this room there are people that, for sure, feel far from God. The feeling isn't the thing. It's the faith. It's believing, trusting. When your life is filled with grief or pain or change, it's your faith that holds you steady and says, look, I know God. I'm in relationship with him. I know this is going to be okay. And somehow God shows up at the right time, just puts his arms around us and strengthens us and helps us, and we go on. And that's faith. But maybe you've never come to that place. Maybe you've never been introduced to God. Maybe you don't have Christ as your Savior. I want to pray for you. Actually, I want to pray for everybody. I want to pray that we all could just come near to God. But crucially, those who have never received Christ would not have a prayer to come near God, because without that sacrifice, without that ticket being paid for, we don't have access. But Jesus paid. So we say, Lord, I receive that blessing into my life. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. Thank you, Jesus, that you've made a way. And so I receive you, Jesus, so that I'll never be away from God. If you're here, I would never embarrass you, but you're saying, I need to connect with God. I'm not with him, but I want to be. I want to pray for you. Jesus is your answer. He is the only way. He's the only way into the presence of God. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if that's you, I do want to pray for you. It's important. And I believe if I pray for you, something will change in your heart and life. And so if that's you, just lift your hand. Pastor, pray for me. I need Jesus. Yeah, I see your hand. Just wherever you are, don't be embarrassed. I see you. Thank you. Just lift it up so I can see it. Yeah. Don't run from the presence of God. Run to the presence of God. Yeah. He's not going to reject you. He loves you. He wants you. He'll forgive you. He'll change you. I want to pray for, is there one more hand? I just feel like there might just be one more person. I see your hand. Lord, I pray for those, you can put your hands down. I pray for those who really are in a place where they need you. We all need you. But those that are away from you must be forgiven and changed. And Lord, these that are raising their hands, these three, I'm asking you to touch them in a special way. And I pray for something amazing to happen in all of our lives with your presence as we're drawn near through the blood of Jesus. I pray that you send the Holy Spirit's power to break all the funky, negative things that are going on. Wash those things away and literally carry us closer to you, Lord. Because some of us are tired. Draw us close, Lord. Change our lives, change our hearts. And for these that raise their hand, may today be the first day of a brand new experience in their life. In Jesus' name, I thank you for it. Now, those of you that raised your hands, we have some information to help you. I would love for you, at the end of the service, just very discreetly walk up to the connection counter and let the team there know you prayed the prayer, you raised your hand, what's my next step? And they're going to give you a gift, and they'll give you some resources that will really help you. What you do from today on is really important, so we want to guide you in that. And I'm really glad you prayed with me. That's what it's all about. When I prayed at age 14 to receive Christ, that was the moment that my entire life changed, and it all started there. There's a prayer that I want us all to pray. And can we just do this? Let's pray. Father God, thank you that I can encounter your presence. Oh God, let your face shine on me. Lord Jesus, thank you for making a way. I want to experience everything that you have for me. Oh, the Lord loves it when we pray that way. Let's keep going. In this new year, fill me with the grace to come near to you as never before. In Christ's name, amen. Draw near and thrive. Amen. We're going to worship for just a moment. Allow a time here to serve the people that are giving by paper. Of course, you don't have to give by paper. You can give digitally with our apps and all of that. However you're giving, thank you for your giving. And you, in a moment, you'll see my friends up here on the prayer team. If you need prayer, healing prayer, just need to check in with somebody, that's what those folks are here for. We love you very much. Let's worship the Lord. Let's honor him today and worship together.
Thank you, Lord. We can sense your nearness. We want to draw near to you. I just felt like singing a different song, a throwback. So if you don't know it, that's okay. Just lift your hands. We don't have the words. But if you know it, sing it with me. You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed, Jesus. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. You're all I want. Help me know you are near.
Tell Pastor David thank you for that word this morning. Wasn't that amazing? God's here. He's near. Amen. And you know, Pastor David, as you were speaking here in the first service, second service today, just that word about cinnamon rolls, that just, in fact, come here, Paul. Here we go, brother. So, we thought we'd help you out here. How you like this, Gateway? This is where your offering money goes. Oh. Hey, no, wait. You got to tithe on that first. You can give it to Pastor John. Hey, we like to have fun here, but how many know the presence of God is real and it's good? Hey, we have our prayer teams up here that if you need any prayer for a touch of the presence of God. But, you know, as Pastor David was sharing, how many know there's a variety of different ways of sensing the presence of God? Amen. One of the strongest ways that we recommend is what we have as far as our life group ministries, our small groups, because it's in the small group during the week that you have an opportunity to get together with 3 to 5, 10 people here at the church, Starbucks, wherever, and you can continue the discussion and pray for one another for the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's why we encourage everybody to find a life group. And so this weekend and next weekend, we're giving everybody an opportunity to sign up for the Unshakable series, which starts in 4 weeks, February 3rd. And the Unshakable series, Pastor's going to lead us through 6 weeks of a discussion of the book of Philippians. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be strong. It's going to build confidence in people. So I encourage everybody to go to the lobby afterwards where you can get people signed up in men's groups, women's groups, married groups, young professional groups. Go check it out. Get into a group. And let's continue the whole focus of sensing the presence of God. Amen. Let me pray. Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for your presence, the promise that you would never leave us, you would never forsake us, that as we draw near to you, you draw near to us. So, Lord, as we leave here today, we're going to get in our cars. And I thank you that your presence is going to be there. When we go to our home, you will be there. And when we go to work tomorrow, you're going to be there in the workplace, Lord, wherever we're at. Father, there you are, wanting to minister and to bless. And Father, we just speak that blessing over everybody here at Gateway, the babies, the children, everybody in this room. Let the presence of God go with us this day. We give you thanks for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. If you need prayer, come up front. Go get signed up. And by the way, go to Cinnabon on the way home, too. God bless. Amen.